experts. We're going to talk about peace in the Holy Land. Is that possible? Good morning, Imran, and welcome back to New York's Morning Show.
Good morning, Sabrina.
It is a funny morning to wake up because this is the day when the lamb was sacrificed. What sacrifices are we seeing in the Middle East? None. Everybody as though they have dropped down the gauntlet.
Unfortunately, we're actually seeing worse. We're seeing human sacrifices.
Yes, give us your take on the situation. Israel has now said, I think the term the Prime Minister used is to isolate Mr. Arafat, but he has not clarified that. Exactly what is he saying? Because Mr. Arafat has been isolated for months.
Exactly. That's a very valid point. And I would like to point out that it's not a one-way street. It's both sides are equally guilty.
Yes.
Obviously, one party has more visible firepower and the other has more invisible terror tactics at its hands. But really, both parties have to realize that they're on a dangerous road right now, and this can really boil over into the whole of the Middle East getting embroiled, especially coming so quickly at the heels of the Arab summit, which in itself was not a very diplomatic affair. There was quite a little bit of anger there also. So we have to be careful with what is happening there, especially with U.S. Envoys there still trying to get peace rolling forward. I think they're beginning to feel frustrated, and I think you'll see a return of those folks back home too.
Imran, I'm trying to understand the United States' motivation for taking a moderate stance, sort of, in favor of Palestine. I've never heard this government saying, you know, we are in favor of a Palestinian state. Would you believe that is the case because they are trying to adhere to the side of the Arab nations because they don't want to be attacked by Iraq?
Well, a couple of things about U.S. policy. And for decades now, obviously, the U.S. policy has been criticized by the rest of the world for being very pro-Israeli. The roots for that may be an old friendship with the Israelis, of course, also the fact that we have a sizable Jewish and pro-Israeli population in the United States, and it's a very active community, which one can understand. On the other hand, the Arabs have never made a diplomatic or a PR or a media sort of campaign in the West, or particularly in America, to win American hearts and minds. So the only images that people see in America are of Arab terrorists, for people chanting death to America, etc. So the American public, as well as the American politicians, who also get money from pro-Israeli groups, obviously tend to have always had a negative both image of and policy towards the Arabs in general.
You can have a continuing argument as to the merits, demerits of either side, but here is the part that I find frightening on this Good Friday. The two groups that you would expect some persuasion to come from, the United States asked Israel to withdraw. It took them a long time to do that, so they did not wield the influence as we thought they would. Then we talk about the Arab states getting together, only 50% of the leaders in the region coming together. What does it say for those who can bring peace?
Excellent points. One thing on the U.S. Sort of influence on Israel. Let's not forget, folks, we give billions, and I mean billions of dollars in aid every year to Israel and to Egypt. As I wrote to somebody in a piece I wrote a few days ago, was that why do we have to be paying billions to these people to make peace? If the Egyptians and the Israelis need to be brought towards peace, that shouldn't be our problem. You and I should not be paying taxes for that. If Israel and Egypt want to destroy each other, go ahead, be my guest. I do not care. I should not have to pay for peace. If you want peace, you want peace yourself. Now, having said that, several billion dollars a year is a lot of money even for the United States. It is a lot more money for a country like Israel. So if we find Israel doesn't listen to us, that is not because we don't have influence there. It is because we can always say to somebody, hey, I'm wielding my influence, wink, wink, do what you have to do.
Mm.
And if we do that, then let's not make the United States look like a weak country that nobody listens to, especially a country that is dependent on our arms and ammunition and upon billions. And the same goes for Egypt. The guy does not show up for the Arab summit. What's that all about? And my concern here is that the Arab summit, of course, had its own issues because Most of them do not necessarily agree with having a great friendship with the Israelis, but at least they got a unanimous vote out of that. But here was my biggest concern about this summit. We are having a summit to discuss a conflict between two countries of which one nation has not yet existed and is under occupation. We do not have the representative of the people who are the victims. So that would be like you and I holding hearings on the tragedy of September 11, but not inviting any of the victims or their families, and have a hearing in your house or out at Montauk Point somewhere.
It's 7-11, 47 degrees. We're speaking with international affairs expert and noted journalist Imran Anwar. Imran, what would be the result if Yasser Arafat is assassinated?
That's a huge risk there. Now, the problem is that here we go again.
Yasser.
You know, all these pleasant, friendly people out there. Yasser Arafat is not the greatest leader. He has been a great leader for the Palestinian people in the sense of putting their issue on the map over the last 50 years. But as an ongoing president, as an ongoing head of state of a sovereign nation, he leaves a lot to be desired, and I'll be the first to admit that. And as a matter of fact, I have criticized his actions in the past. He is definitely not a very democratic person. He's definitely not very big on having a line of succession, etc., because he also knows that if he has a great line of succession, guess what? He'll be shot in the back, if not by the Israelis, by one of the other politically ambitious people.
Mm-hmm.
So the problem we face here is that he does not exude the same confidence that I would expect and hope to see from a Palestinian president of the future. Only problem is nobody's out there to replace him. Mm-hmm. With violence where it is today, killing him is not the answer. You kill him, you make him a martyr, which probably is the best thing for him considering he is in ill health, and he can leave a greater mark on history by being a martyr in the real sense. But in the meantime, the risk is that instead of a moderate taking over, because we haven't identified anybody like that, we might have more virulently violent people take over, or worse, break into 10 or 20 groups that we will have no control over, and then that means that whole region is in big trouble.
International affairs expert, notice journalist Imran Anwar, thank you so much for talking with us. We are looking at a falling away government in Afghanistan, but we can look at that on Tuesday morning. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me, as always.
Yeah. Have yourself a great day, Imran. It is 13 minutes after 7 o'clock on 1600 WWRO, always keeping you on the cutting edge. At 7:35 this morning, writer, director, producer Yvette K. Liger will be giving us a sneak preview of her play, Homegirl.
Thank God it's
really interesting news. The